I'd like to call the State Affairs Committee to order. Sue, are we ready? And okay, thank you. This is Tuesday, February 24th, 2009, and let the record reflect that the time is 4 minutes after 9. Present are Senator Passfan, Senator Myers, Senator French, and Senator Menard, and Senator Kukesh will be joining us. We just got out of another committee, so thank you for understanding that. Debbie Prater is the committee aide sitting behind me on my right, and I would ask at this time that you turn off any electronic devices or cell phones. Thank you for considering that. On the agenda today, we have Senate Joint Resolution 6, which oppose HB 45 in Congress. We have Senate Bill 50, Iditarod registration plates, and committee substitute for Senate Bill 19, complaints against police officers, VPSOs. As far as anyone that has signed up, we don't have anyone at this time. And in the audience, if any of you have questions, there'll be an opportunity. And there's no one, I guess, online. No one online at this time besides the LIO.
Six.
Okay, have I missed anybody? Okay, I guess we can start with the first opposing H.R. 45 in Congress. That's Senate Joint Resolution 6. Would you like to come forward and state your name and affiliation, please?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good day. I'm Dave Stancliffe, aide to Senator Terrio. He has double booked and asked me to present at this time. Would that be okay, Madam Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
SJR 6 involves the topic of gun control, which in Alaska can mean anything from someone telling you what to do with your weapon to being able to hit your target, is kind of the joke. But the topic of gun control is not a new one. It's a result of a response by some to the ever-growing level of violence in our nation. And the flaw in the reasoning of gun control is that the proponents believe that the passage of laws will change the behaviors of those responsible for gun violence. If we just pass a law, bad people will not be bad people anymore. The actual result, of course, is law-abiding people obey laws and lawbreakers do not. The result of gun control is to remove the ability to protect oneself from law-abiding citizens, while those who threaten those citizens have less and less fear of retaliation when they use their guns to assault their victims. H.R. 45, by virtue of it being activated in the national legislative process, is not a benign threat to those who support the Second Amendment. At the very least, it is a potent message to Americans that the desire to control guns is, in fact, alive and well. It is also a rallying point for those who believe in gun control to build their forces. It is not something that should be ignored, as such ignorance sends a signal to those who support such ideas. SJR 6 sends a message to counter that signal and to clearly indicate that Alaskans, by and large, do not support gun control, nor do they appreciate continuing efforts through creative methods to do so. There is a message on a hall, on a door in these halls that reads, "What we tolerate, we encourage." SJR 6 is on point, and though it may not have an overwhelming effect on those who support H.R. 45, it clearly accomplishes one important goal. It states how little tolerance for such measures Alaskans have. Now, Senator Terrio appreciates the fact that this particular bill, H.R. 45, does not have a single co-sponsor. He also appreciates the fact that it has been introduced before and it has gone nowhere. But he also appreciates the fact, having been in this system, as many of you can appreciate, that when you say nothing, sometimes that says something also. And so he feels from the reaction that he has gotten from his district, and if you read the papers, the things that are going on in Fairbanks and various places in the state, the more quickly as policymakers, the legislature sends a message on behalf of the people, the more appreciated it will be. And after all, Senator Terrio feels that bills like H.R. 45, even though they may not go anywhere, do merit a position from policymakers in Alaska. I have a copy of the bill here, and I also have a copy of information about the bill. If I can answer any questions, I will.
Thank you. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your testimony. Just a quick question. I see here, as far as copies, you want a copy to go to the Vice President as well as the Congress. Is there any reason why we're not sending it to the President? And not that he cares what we think up here, but since we're sending it to everybody else, I just thought we shouldn't leave him out.
You know, the drafters typically determine on a resolution the list of people that it is sent to, and if it is not violating some unspoken principle, I think that would be a very wise addition, Madam Chairman.
Okay. No, thank you. And Madam Chair, I think we did have a resolution, was it yesterday, that it did include his name, so that's why I thought it was odd that it wasn't included here, but that's up to you.
Okay. Is there discussion? Senator Passman.
Yes, Madam Chair. I think as a point of order, I believe that the reason why it's sent to the Vice President, in the event of a tie, the Vice President votes. Mm. And so that's why it's sent to the Vice President, I believe.
Okay. Senator French, did you want to weigh in on that at all?
Sure. I was just thinking that if the Blair Holt bill passed, Barack Obama could veto it. So we might want to make him aware of it.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience or online that would like to speak to Senate Joint Resolution 6, which opposes HB 45 in Congress? Okay, seeing none with that, I'll close testimony then. And then open it up for discussion. Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, if you're accepting amendments at this particular time, I would make that, I would move that we amend line 23 to include President Barack Obama.
Okay, seeing no objection. Is there any objection? Okay, we'll go ahead and do that. Is there any more questions from the committee? May I hear a motion then to adopt the Senate Joint Resolution 45, which would oppose HB 45 in Congress?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we move Senate Joint Resolution number 6 from the committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal vote.
Thank you.
Any objections?
Is there any objections? Okay, good. Okay, next on our agenda is Senate Bill 50, Iditarod Registration Plates. Would you come forward and state your name for the record, please?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. My name is Sharon Long. I'm legislative aide to Senator Charlie Huggins, who sends his regrets for not being able to be here this morning. I'm here to speak to you about Senate Bill 50, Iditarod finisher license plates. By passage of this legislation, a new provision is added for special issue license plates to honor those who have shown the dedication, perseverance, and exemplary athletic ability that finishing the Iditarod Trail sled dog race requires. Design work for the new plate will be approved by the Department of Administration prior to production of the specialty plates. The finishers will be able to purchase these exclusive specialty plates by providing proof of participation and completion of the race, which will be confirmed by the Iditarod Trail Committee. The race finisher must have an automobile registered in the state of Alaska on which the plates would be displayed. This measure has a zero fiscal note. Senator Huggins requests your support for this new category of specialty license plates, honoring the mushers who have endured the challenges and shown the courage and ability to complete what's affectionately known as the last great race on earth, the Iditarod Sled Dog Race, which is going to see its 37th start here in about a week and a half in our district. Mr. Stan Hooley, who is executive director of the Iditarod Trail Committee, is online to speak to this if you care to hear from him, as well as the folks from DMV, the director of DMV and the driver's license manager, and also in the room, the intrepid Andy Motoro, who is an Iditarod finisher, one of the youngest ever racers to finish the race, is here to speak. With that, I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? I did want to make note that off-net is Whitney Brewster, DMV, and Carrie Hennings. Okay. Senator Passavant.
Thank you. What's the distinction between $50 for some people or categories and $30 for other categories? In other words, what are we trying to create, if anything, here?
This is something that we discussed with the drafters, and it seemed to fall more in the category of the custom collector plates, and folks from DMV can speak to that also, to that $50, if you care to hear.
Well, I guess one further question. Does that $50 go on top of the regular registration charges? In other words, is this the additional charge or is this a replacement charge?
That's the charge for the plate. I think that's separate from the registration. To Ms. Brewster, can you clarify that?
Whitney Brewster.
Yes.
Okay.
For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Through the Chair, Senator Passavant. The cost of the plate would be in addition to the registration rate.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Is there anyone else that have? Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to add, Whitney?
Madam Chairman, only that just to a little background information for the committee. This is not like a previous bill that you have seen where a special fund is created for fundraising purposes. This would simply create a new plate that the DMV would make available to Iditarod finishers, and the funds collected above and beyond the cost of producing the plates themselves would go to the general fund. Other than that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee has.
Is there any committee member that has any questions for Whitney Brewster from DMV? Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience or online that would like to speak? Okay, would you like to come forward and state your name, please?
Good Thank you, Chairman. I'm members of the committee. For the record, my name is Andy Motoro, and I've run sled dogs for about 20 years, and I had the privilege of competing in the Iditarod in 2001. Worked for Martin Boozer for a year, and then ran his leftover dogs in the race and had an absolute blast doing it. It's memories I'll always cherish. I want to thank the committee for hearing this bill. I think as a musher, I can say that a lot of people who have completed the race would utilize it and help advertise the race and the sport to people who may be visiting out of state or anything else. So I do think the take-up rate would be high. I was thinking about license plates last night, and probably my most vivid memories of them come from flying into New York City and visiting my grandmother in Connecticut, where you land and there's buildings and tons of, you know, chaos and everything else going on. And I remember thinking, wow, they have a lot of different state license plates on these roads, you know. And I think it really represented a little, you know, part of my memories on the East Coast, where you were in a place where you had Virginia, New York, Pennsylvania, and all these states represented. We don't really have that up here, but I think this bill will establish something that, you know, will represent Alaska very well. I know from some time I spent on the East Coast, the word Iditarod brings up, you know, images of adventure and wilderness and history of the state. And I think you'd see these scattered around the roads pretty, you know, all over the place. And I think it'll be a fun little, you know, side thing that visitors to the state can enjoy and help promote the state sport and also the state image. Be happy to answer any questions you have.
You have seen on the billboard Alaska Before You Die.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Thank you. Thank you. Does anybody else on the committee have a question for Andy? We just really are proud that you're in this building and that you're a finisher. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Senator French.
Uh-oh.
Not every day I get one of my staffers here in front of me. I thought I'd just take a couple minutes and ask him a couple questions. Mr. Motoro, you ran the Iditarod in 2001.
Yes, I did, through the chair.
How long did it take you to finish? It
took me 12 days and 44 minutes.
And what place was that?
It was 17th place.
Out of how many entrants?
Oh, I think there were 80-some that year. I had an absolute amazing trip. It was a really good time.
And what was the coldest temperature you encountered during that race?
You know, I experienced a very warm race. I don't think it got much below 10, 20 below, which is pretty rare for the conditions. We had some wind storms, though.
And what was the farthest distance you covered in 24 hours?
Oh, boy. We probably, you know, you run in cycles. You don't really race daytime and nighttime. I probably, in a period of 24 hours, ran 16 or 17 hours, going about 130 miles.
And are you the only member of your family to complete the Iditarod?
Through the chair, no. Both my mom and dad have finished as well, and I can assure you they'd be very excited about this license plate bill as well.
Thank you very much.
And is it true, just final question, thank you, Madam Chair.
This is a follow-up.
Really been looking forward to this. Is it true that more people have summited Mount Everest than have finished the Iditarod?
Through the chair, that's definitely a saying I've heard. I think San Huli could attest to it more than I, but I do believe that is the case. When I finished, there were roughly 500 finishers, and now I think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 700.
Well, I would just, the final point, thank you, Madam Chair, is before this bill gets to finance, where the people can really count well, I would get a good answer to that question and be prepared on that.
Through the chair, I'll take that advice very humbly and work on getting my act together.
Thank you. And speaking of Stan Hooley, I just got a news flash. We have him as well online. And Stan?
Good morning, Madam Chair. How are you?
Good morning. Stan, for the audience, is the Executive Director for the Iditarod Trail. In a constituent in my district. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, let me start by saying that we're grateful for the opportunity to speak just for a moment in support of this legislation, and we are, as an organization, fully supportive of it. We think it's a great thing to recognize this relatively small yet elite group of adventurers in this way. And in regards to a bit of the conversation that I heard through Mr. Motoro, who we're obviously very proud of, and what he didn't tell you is I believe he was the youngest person at the time to complete the Iditarod. But in 36 years of the history of this race, only 663 people have made this particular trek from Anchorage to Nome and laid claim to to what has to be the most expensive and coveted belt buckle on the planet and have become members of what we refer to as the Iditarod Official Finishers Club. And it is a small group of folks in relative terms over the course of 36 years.
Stan, but if you include the canine that's represented, male and female, it's a very large group, and they will be so honored, too, to be on the license plate.
Well, they would, I'm sure, in any final design, should this legislation be successful, be an integral part of that design. We many times refer to the two-legged athletes and the four-legged athletes working as a team to get to Nome, so that would boost the number significantly, obviously.
And I thank you for that recognition. Thank you. Is there any other questions of Andy at the okay. Thank you very much. At this time, if there's no one else in the audience or on net that want to speak, I will go ahead and close public testimony. Okay, is there any discussion here at the table, committee members?
If you're ready for a motion, Madam Chair.
May I hear a motion to adopt?
I would move that, actually, I don't know if we need to adopt anything. We've got the bill in front of us. It's unamended. I guess I'll just make the motion that SB 50 be moved, passed out of this committee onto the next committee referral with the attached zero fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, so moved.
You know, it's interesting, if a person buys a dog that was on one of the teams, that's a finisher. You don't differentiate between a person and an animal in this bill.
We'll have to have that discussion at some other time. That's
well, sure. I mean, even one of the famous lead dogs, I mean, you could see a guy buys it and kind of use it for breeding for, and say, wait a minute, this is a finisher. I can buy a license plate.
It says to a person.
Final on the agenda.
To a person who has finished. There you go.
Yeah.
But I think Senator Kuka should be commended for making me read the bill.
That's discrimination.
It's too late to amend it.
I'm gonna call the animal rights groups up here. Have them at the next committee.
I'm trying to involve them. Last but not least on our agenda, we have CH for SB 19, Complaints Against Police Officers / VPOS. Okay. At this time, I would call the bill sponsor at the table and ask him to explain the bill. Are you comfortable sitting there?
If I may stay here, Madam Chair, thank you.
Yes, Mr.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move that we adopt the CS for Senate Bill number 19, Community Regional Affairs, version 26-LS0147/E as our working document for the purpose of discussion.
Is there any objections to that? Okay. Okay, Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 19 comes to you as a recommendation out of the Branch Flower Report that there be some balance made between the need to keep personnel investigations confidential to preserve the reputation and privacy rights of the trooper who is the subject of a complaint, and balance that against the public's right to have some minimal forms of feedback about what happened to that complaint. And so the bill comes to you after having been heard in a previous committee. And just for the record, Madam Chair, the bill now strictly pertains only to peace officers. There was some discussion in the earlier committee, as you may remember, about including VPSOs. The committee made the decision to eliminate that aspect of the bill. And so the bill, as it comes to this committee now, deals strictly with peace officers and peace officers alone. And the bill essentially sets up a process whereby a citizen who has enough interest in their complaint, that is, you know, maybe that's a serious enough complaint or something they feel a little bit invested in, if they're willing to sign a written document that says this is what I saw happen, if they're willing to do that, then the department would in turn give them updates about the process, or the progress of the investigation, and then at the end of the investigation, give them some message letting them know, you know, yes or no, was your complaint valid? Was it sustained? Was it, you know, did it prove to be true? And that's really the sum and substance of the bill. It's a small step. It's not a complete opening of the process. There's not going to be public hearings. There's not going to be a website devoted to this. I think that would all be going too far. But it just does some. It sort of establishes a small safety valve that lets the public know that your complaint is, you know, being worked. And then once it's been worked, you get some feedback about what happened. So that's really what the bill's about. It's just about a page and a half long, and I'd be happy to answer questions about it.
Okay. Senator French, since this was Mr. Blanchflower's recommendation, has he seen the committee substitute form? Has he seen this? Has he had for his perusal? Has he had an opportunity?
You know, I got an email from him a couple of weeks ago saying, hey, you really need to follow up on that recommendation and file something, and I wrote him back and said, you know, I did, and I gave him the bill number. But it's not clear to me that he's read it. But he was generally supportive that we were taking action on his recommendation.
Okay, thank you. Because I highly recommend him having an opportunity to see what.
That's a good suggestion, and I'll make certain that I'll send an email to him today and make sure he's got the language as it appears now. Thank okay. you.
Are there any questions of Mr. Senator French, Senator Kukesh?
Two questions. Have we satisfied the definition of the peace officers with all the other concerns that we had the last couple of meetings on this particular issue? If we have, I'm satisfied, but I was wondering if we could say that we have.
Senator Kukesh, through the chair, let me double check my bill book. And while I'm looking for the answer to that, I'll just let the committee know that you all should have received today a letter of support from the Alaska Peace Officers Association behind the bill.
While you're looking and researching for that, I do want the members to know in the audience that Terrence Shanahan from the Troopers is on off-net. For any questions? Okay.
The answer to Senator Kukesh's question is found on lines 8 and 9 of the bill. The general definition of peace officer means officers, state troopers, police officer of a municipality, village public safety officer, regional public safety officer, or United States Marshal or Deputy Marshal. That's the generic statutory definition. But what the bill does is it narrows that even further by saying, filing complaints against peace officers employed by the department. Okay. And that, in my view, restricts it only to basically state troopers.
Great, thank you. And last question.
Follow up.
Is there anybody that you know that is opposed to this bill?
Through the chair, to Senator Kukesh, I've been working very closely with the members of the PSEA, the Public Safety Employees Association, basically the police union, and they have concerns, and I've talked to some members of APD that also have concerns that I share, and that is that you could conceivably wind up having revealed to a citizen what the outcome of a complaint is, you could wind up with sort of a public record, if you will, of discipline and the sustaining of complaints against troopers that could wind up being used against that officer either in court or in the court of public opinion. So I'm working with APD and with PSEA and with the department. I think the commissioner is about to establish a new Office of Internal Review or Internal Affairs that's going to largely, if not replicate this bill, you know, duplicate it, if that doesn't mean the same thing. But so there's a little bit of, I mean, people are, some of the troopers are a little concerned about this bill. I think that's fair to say.
Thank you.
Senator Passavant.
Senator French, on the intent of this bill, is it the intent that if a written complaint is filed that the complainant would then receive a response that an investigation has been completed, but that if someone gives an oral complaint, that it's an inference that they would not receive? In other words, could someone go to Internal Affairs and just say, hey, this is what I believe is happening, can you look into it, and it just, you don't need to get back to me, this is just what I heard was happening, you know, so there's no notification to the complainant. Is that what is the intent here?
Well, the basic intent is just to provide some feedback to citizens. The reason why we added the written complaint part was because in order to, one, be able to keep track of who it is that you're dealing with, and two, sort of asks, in order to, you know, sort of obligate the department to respond, you sort of ask for something in the first place from the citizen in terms of, I guess, seriousness of purpose, for lack of a better phrase. So does that answer your question?
Yes, through the chair. You know, I know there's been a lot of investigations that were very serious that were never formalized. You know, it's just done internally, and the results have, you know, I'm just wanting to make sure we're not foreclosing the oral notification and that that process through an internal affairs could continue, that we're not limiting it to just written notification back to a complainant.
Thank you. And through the chair, Senator Pascoe, that's a great point, and it's not my intention to shut that down. I don't believe it's the department's intention to make all complaints be in writing. You know, my discussions with both the commissioner and the union representatives have taught me that they take all these very seriously, and they respond to them. If someone calls up and just says on the phone to a trooper detachment, hey, I saw a trooper weaving on his way to work, I don't know if he's drunk or running a cell phone or what, they look into that. And you can hang up and never say another word about who you are or what it is, you know, or where you're coming from, so to speak. They look into them all, and it is not my intention through by filing the bill to make all complaints be in written format.
Okay, thank you. I know we have Mr. Shanigan. Terrence, do you want to comment at all at this time?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Terrence Shanigan. I am a member of PSEA, and I'm also employed as an Alaska State Trooper in Talkeetna. And we're a post of about 5 troopers that cover about 6,000 square miles. It's my position that every resident in Alaska has a right to complain about anyone in any job, regardless if it's public or private. And when I looked at the original definition in line 5 of the bill here, it identifies state peace officers, and immediately to me it singled out state trooper. So the language in itself to me was concerning, because it looked like it focused on us. And coming from the Branch Law Report, that was my immediate reaction, as well as some of the colleagues I work with. You know, for me, what constitutes a complaint? Is it being rude or unprofessional, or is it using pepper spray to deal with an unruly six-year-old? One of those, to me, is an example of a matter that is handled by an employer and confidentially, which is a personnel matter, and the other is one that's an excessive use of force, which might even be criminal. And we already have processes in place when somebody says, I have a complaint against a trooper. Sometimes those complaints immediately are identified as something that could be criminal, and other ones are things that are handled like any other personnel matter. If I walk into McDonald's and an attendant is rude to me, and a manager is brought to their attention, they may handle that rudeness when I've left the restaurant. Maybe the person gets disciplined or even fired. If the person reaches across the counter and grabs my coat because I had a complaint about the food, they'll take a different action and probably have some follow-up. But two clearly different things going on there. I see that some of the intent here, where it's asking for notifying the complainant of the status of the completion of the investigation, we do that already in many cases. In more informal kinds of complaints where someone says an individual talk to me harshly, they may not get a follow-up unless they've asked for it. Since there are already processes and procedures in handling the complaints made against state troopers, if the way it's written, it looks like it singles out state troopers specifically. APSC and DPS are already working together to come up with that process through the commissioner and having an independent source investigate complaints and those kinds of things. So to have something like this in statute, to me, doesn't just create redundancy, but it would complicate the situation. and it should be a standard process statewide for all law enforcement officers. By forcing regular personnel matters to be made public, in some cases, by statute, could undermine good troopers, the trust in troopers or law enforcement officers, and also trust by troopers that those that are doing the investigating of the complaints are actually taking a neutral position. And it could serve to cast a shadow of doubt over troopers or law enforcement officers in the public's eye. And I think it creates a slippery slope when we start trying to give some of this information back, which would start to tear at the credibility of those sworn to protect Alaskans. The Constitution, to uphold the Constitution, and by publicizing accusations made against somebody for the sake of somebody's curiosity. To me, I don't see this just stopping at giving feedback to somebody. I think this opens the door for somebody then to say, well, we want to know more. And so the public's curiosity or the desire to know versus the need to know in a lot of these areas. We spend a lot of our time in this profession dealing with people that cause problems and find themselves in legal trouble. And a lot of those people that are in those two categories aren't always assets to society. And inevitably, in this career field, we tend to find a higher rate of people that want to complain about the job that we do. And in a given year, a handful of people in one area, for example, in my area here in Talkeetna, may complain about every single trooper here and make numerous complaints against those individuals, troopers. In much the same way that a guy that works at a car dealership is handles complaints at the service counter. But with that increased number of complaints, if some of this stuff starts to be made public because you have loud, squeaky wheels who always complain with no check and balance to disclose how often those people are making complaints, what their history of complaints are, if they're valid or not, I just see this opening the door to putting black eyes on officers or troopers. And inside here, it does highlight in the bill that statements, if they gave you a written statement, is an unsworn falsification. Well, it should be unsworn falsification even if it's a verbal. If someone calls and says XYZ happened and it's found through an investigation that it didn't happen, that should be considered unsworn falsification. But the fact is that I don't see the district attorney's office starting to take these false complaints that we would charge somebody with and start taking higher level crimes and pushing them out of the way to handle these false statement complaints.
So in closing and wrapping up your comments, you're not in favor of this going forward?
No, I'm not in favor of it. Most of it is that there are things that single out state troopers in general.
Okay.
And
I'll give the members here an opportunity to ask any questions of you at this point. Does anyone have any questions? Senator French?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's more by way of comment. And thank you, Trooper Schengen, for your service to the state. And I appreciate your comments here today. I'll just tell you that I've had several thoughtful conversations with both line officers like yourself and the Troopers Union, APD officers. I've had long emails from folks from various parts of the state. And, I'm listening very carefully about how to balance the interests, your interests in going about your job and not being harassed by, false complaints with the public's right. And I think the legitimate right to have some feedback, some closing of the loop, if you will, about, their issues with individuals that we empower to go out with guns and enforce the laws. So I hear you loud and clear. I'm concerned, as you are, about the slippery slope, and I'll be watching this bill very, very carefully to make sure that it doesn't get sort of blown wide open. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation on that. Is there anyone else? At this point, then, if there's no one else in the audience that have concerns or want to speak, I'll go ahead and close public testimony. Are you signed up? Okay. Would you go forward, please, and state your name and affiliation?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sue Stancliffe. I am the Special Assistant to the Commissioner of Department of Public Safety. Thank you, Trooper Shanigan, for your comments. I would note that he was speaking on his own regard. The Department of Public Safety has worked very closely with Senator French regarding this issue, and we appreciate his efforts tremendously. One of the things I would like to state is that the department has not taken an official position on this because we continue to work with the sponsor, recognizing that, yeah, there's a problem with reporting back to people, to closing that loop. And the public trust has been diminished, and we want to fix it. We know there's a problem, and it's our goal to fix it. The commissioner has done a tremendous work in this Office of Professional Standards. He has created to protect the integrity and professionalism of the department and ensure the public trust. He's created a new internal affairs unit to be named the Office of Professional Standards. This is a very proactive approach, and the commissioner's done a fantastic job. The Office of Professional Standards was created in response to the need for centralized oversight, management, and analysis of departmental investigations. Investigations into reported employee misconduct will ensure that complaints against employees or policy violations of the department are dealt with in a thorough, consistent, objective, and timely manner that are appropriate, and timely feedback given to the complainant parties. The office will work directly in the commissioner's office for the commissioner and will be staffed with two highly trained investigators experienced in performing these types of sensitive and often complex investigations. In the past, serious complaints enough to warrant investigations into alleged improper conduct of a department employee were reviewed at the division level, and a trained supervisor was assigned to the case to investigate it. Supervisor would follow the manual to help guide him through the often complex steps of notification and investigation requirements by union contracts, which, you know, between the union contracts and department policies, it's often a difficult and challenging maze, if you will, to get through the bureaucracy. Although generally effective, there have been problems and that we've experienced with the approach. Current statute concerning confidentiality allow very limited information to be released to a complainant in regards to personnel matters and the outcome of investigations. It has made it very difficult to give a final outcome to a complainant. However, at the conclusion of the administrative investigation or inquiry under this new OPS, a letter generated from the OPS, the Office of Professional Standards Unit, will be sent to every complainant thanking them for and advising them of their what the department has investigated and the complaint and appropriate action was taken. So it does send a written response back to those that we track the complaints. It does not change how complaints are handled out in the field level, that they still go through the commanding officer, and the commanding officer has a database that it's a statewide database that complaints are entered into. It's a tracking system. It's an early warning device system for us in the department. If the alleged complaints are, you know, it gives us that ability to track them to know, is this serious? Do we have a problem? Is there a time frame that is running out on us? Is this a complaint that perhaps is overdue? It's a system that the commissioner is putting into place and believes very strongly it's going to be very effective. And with that, I will close. I do have Terry Vrabeck with the Alaska Police Standards Council. Thank you. I keep wanting to say fire standards, but he's not fire. The Police Standards Council, as well as Trooper Rodney Dial, Lieutenant Dial from Ketchikan. And if there are specific questions that you might have regarding how complaints are handled in the field or regarding other peace officers, these two gentlemen, I'm sure, could answer any of your questions.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Is there any questions? Okay. I see one more person, and then I'll officially close testimony if there's no one other. Anybody else that has concerns or comments?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To save a little time, I've prepared...
Could you state your name for the record, please?
And my name is Vernon Marshall, and I do provide lobby assistance for the Public Safety Employees Association. They have prepared a statement outlining some of the concerns that they have with Senate Bill 19, and they are concerns that we have shared with Senator French and worked with him on. And also, I have a copy of the article from the collective bargaining agreement that does outline the specific procedures, the criminal investigation, the administrative investigation, the administrative inquiry, and the procedures that are in place relative to troopers. And just
have those been made, available prior to today?
Madam Chair, what I have done is, as PSEA has met with some of you on the committee, and I believe we've met with all of you on the committee, we did provide that, but I've made extra copies, and they're available
today. That's why I brought that up, because I thought we'd already seen that. Okay.
But if I could make a couple of just points to summarize some of the data in the material. PSEA does have a concern about the issue of confidentiality. And again, the collective bargaining agreement does stipulate that material as it relates to an investigation is confidential. And I do believe that's good public policy. And we are concerned, that not necessarily that the state will put in place an internet website that lists the names of people who complain or who have had their complaints reported. But we are concerned about persons who may want to use the internet to just simply post, as they might want to post legislative complaints or complaints against legislators. We feel that's not a good way to deal with the issues that affect the public and an agency as important as the Alaska State Troopers. We also have a concern that the threshold relative to signing a complaint is relatively low. The statements are punishable as unsworn falsification. There's a greater penalty if you sign your voter registration information and you falsify on that report, or you file a permanent fund. But we think that we think if the complaint is important, if it is whether it's valid or not, it should be a complaint that is brought forth in the spirit of trying to get the issue presented to the department and dealt with. If you raise the level of signing to a point of oath, I think you will eliminate some frivolous complaints and save the department time. But we hope you'll look at the material. We are willing to work with you, the committee, judiciary, the senator, the Department of Public Safety, and as I understand it, PSEA supports the efforts by Commissioner Masters to put in place the Office of Professional Standards. They are working, PSEA and the department are working internally to make sure that that happens, and that is a good, committee or commission working within the department to resolve and deal with some of the problems that people have. And PSEA is committed to performing that that work to make sure it is successful for them.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay.
I have some, Madam Chair.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Vernon, so in your opinion, how can we make this better? It sounds like you've been working with the sponsor and you're pretty close, but you're still not comfortable with this.
Well, you know, we feel, and we've had these discussions, and they've been friendly and amicable. If the section relative to confidentiality was removed, it would be better for us. It would, in a sense, make what the senator is asking for in terms of status and whether the complaint is valid or not. By removing the confidentiality piece, that could happen, and you still have language that would be consistent with the agreement, with the collective bargaining agreement, the provision that I just handed out. And again, I think removing the confidentiality doesn't diminish the investigation. I mean, I think the officer pointed out investigations do take place with higher command staff. I think the issue of confidentiality avoids the possible politicizing of complaints that might come up from time to time. I mean, there's a reason for that, and the reason is to get to the bottom of the matter that is at hand.
Mr. French, and then Mr. Pass, or Senator French, and then Senator Passavant.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just so the record is clear, Vernon, when you say remove the confidentiality part, you mean Section 2?
Yes.
Just take that out. And just so the record's clear, you believe that taking that out would have the effect of doing what?
Well, you indicated earlier that you wanted to provide, you know, some loopback process, feedback process to citizens. And again, I think the agreement and your statute would provide the means by which the Department of Public Safety could say, yes, you know, we got your complaint, it's in writing, and we did investigate, and as you pointed out, we have exonerated, or we've found the complaint to be valid.
But you're just so we're clear, you would then make that disclosure and that communication a confidential communication. Is that what you mean?
That disclosure?
By taking out Section 2, by telling the citizen, we finished the investigation, your complaint was found to be valid. Do you think that taking out Section 2 makes that a confidential disclosure to the citizen?
No, I think that I don't. If you take out Section 2, I think that disclosure can be made as it's being made now under the current procedure. I mean, there has been testimony that complaints are being filed now, correct? That there is a report back on the part of captains and higher to those filing the complaint that, you know, they've been heard, they've been checked into, and the public can be assured, or the complainant can be assured, that something was done.
Well, I guess
Senator,
it's not clear at all to me that that's what's happening.
Well, that's what I'm hearing is happening.
Okay, well, we haven't heard testimony about that. I mean, the committee hasn't. If that's happening, I think we need to get the commissioner here, or Ms. Stancliffe here, or somebody from the department to say, absolutely, we call those citizens and we tell them that we're finished, because that's I don't think that is the record, just so we're all clear.
Well, it's my understanding, based on the officers that I've talked to, that loop back, that feedback process is in place. And I'll be the first to admit, I mean, it's not the procedures that fail many times. It could be the people that fail to do it. But I believe they do that, yes.
Well,
follow up.
I'll just finish by saying that if that's the case, then this bill is redundant. Then there's no reason to oppose the bill, because it's already happening.
That's what we have argued, yes.
Well, that's not what your letter from Mr. Cox says, if I can close. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Cox doesn't say that at all.
Through the chair, I guess I don't understand.
Well, I guess I'd urge you to read Mr. Cox's letter.
Okay. Senator Passavant, you had a...
And I'm trying to struggle with this whole concept here, but in the report back to the individual where it says was found to be valid, as I understand what you have trouble with disclosing that to the public, or making that validity, so to speak, would something along the line of you know, that that the subject matter of the complaint was found to have justified the investigation, where the actual result would be kept confidential.
That would
be. But
then
the public, does that distinction, you know, where you just report back to the public that, or to the complainant, that the subject matter that they reported to the Department of Public Safety was found to have justified the investigation that was conducted, but not telling the complainant, because of the privacy or confidentiality issues that you're raising, what actual result occurred? Is that what you're saying?
Senator Pascvan, through the chair, I think that that is much better, because we have raised the issue, what does valid mean? Does that mean, and I've used this example, well, I'd like to ask you a question, it may be foolish. Well, generally the response is, well, there's no foolish question. Well, it's kind of like, I have a complaint, is it valid? Well, there's no complaint that is not valid. Is it that threshold, or is it a higher threshold? So that meaning is very broad, very general, and I think that Senator Pascvan, you narrow that to a point that's better understood on the part of all parties, the person complaining as well as the person being complained about. I mean, you have a better feel for what the term valid means.
Follow up.
What ultimate oversight is there in the department now as far as if a committee wanted to investigate what complaints were in and what investigations were warranted as to, you know, what level of oversight outside the department currently exists?
Outside the department?
Correct.
I'm not aware of any investigative division or effort outside the department. I do know that in testimony that Commissioner Masters has offered on both the House and Senate side, he is putting in place the Office of Professional Standards. And that office has, I believe, there are two persons that have been employed as staff for that office, and that they are dealing with internal issues and I believe they are charged with the responsibility of or will be or have been charged with the responsibility of dealing with complaints that come up.
Okay. Senator,
but you need Pukic. To ask, I'm sorry, you need to ask the commissioner for that. But I'm telling you what I've heard.
Senator, let me just ask Pukic. A very simple question. Under, you're telling us that disclosures made to a complaint under AS 1865-120 are not confidential section. You want that to disappear.
Yes.
So what you're telling me is that if a complaint is found valid, you want disclosures made to a complaint under this section confidential. You don't want anybody to know about it.
Well, we're saying...
yes or no?
Well, we want the complainant to get the information that is listed up in Section 1.
But see, that's where the public has a right to know. I think that overrides your right to confidentiality. My personal opinion is that the public needs a right to know. If we have a peace officer that is doing something that is being complained about and the complaints are being found valid, but we don't make it... but we make it confidential, then we have a problem. We're still back where we are before this bill. So my position is, I don't want to get into a debate with you. I just want you to tell you that I don't think that that's going to solve the problem. I think if you get rid of the confidential section in this bill, then we're back where we were before. Because I think peace officers, like everybody else in the state, are subject to a certain standard. And we don't need to debate it. I just wanted to make that comment. Because I don't agree that taking that confidential section out is going to help this bill.
Well, Senator Kukash, through the chair, we don't disagree that this is the union. We don't disagree that officers should not be punished for violating any kind of legal or moral standard that we have. So we're willing to work with you, with the committee, to try to resolve the issue. And I think, though, with some of the definition or clearer definition that Senator Pascban offered, I do believe we can get to a position where we can deal with the release of information.
Okay, thank you. Senator French, one last comment or
question? Just to say, I appreciate the Senator Kukesh's remarks. I appreciate Vernon coming here today. I don't feel like this bill's on a fast track. I think it's going to be something that we really need to think about carefully. I've vowed to continue to work with the commissioner. We had a great meeting in my office about what he's doing on his side to implement something like this. And so, I just wanted to say that, you know, that it's a touchy subject, and I totally appreciate that. And, we're trying to steer a middle ground here and get to something that works, that makes the system a little bit better.
And we fully recognize that this professional standards committee or agency that our new Commissioner Masters is setting up has a lot of validity. But in the meantime, this is what we're trying to deal with as a direct result of what happened in the past. And whether or not this committee elects to do an amendment and remove some of that language, that's a little bit further here down this meeting, but we do appreciate you coming forward with your testimony and concerns.
And Madam Chair, just we do want to work with you. We don't view this as adversarial, and we want to get to the right answer if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
And I will let the record show that our honorable chairs, Senator Huggins, has joined us today. Thank you for joining us. With no further testimony, I'm going to close public testimony on this and have discussion here amongst our committee members. Any further discussion?
Just, Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question, I guess, for Senator Pascban. Were you kind of conceptually thinking of an amendment or?
Well, I am struggling with the concept of the use of the word valid or validity, and my question is a complainant calls in, what is going to be said back to them if they went to the they went in, they signed a letter saying this is what I believe was true, look into it, what you send back to them? And I hear what Senator Kukesh says, that if there is substance there that I of some sort, and so the only question that came into my mind is whether the response doesn't have to say valid, because that valid can mean a lot of different things to different people, just that the subject matter of the investigation justified or warranted an investigation, and that's where I'm struggling with.
Madam Chair.
Senator French.
Thank you. And Senator Pascan has hit on the exact same word that I struggled with. And if it's your desire, I'd be perfectly happy to have this bill carried over to the next hearing. He and I can talk about that word, see if we can find a better one. If we can, great. If we can't, the bill does go to judiciary next, and I think it's going to stay there for a while.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. Is there any? Okay. Senator Myers?
Madam Chair, it certainly is the chairperson. It's your call whether we hold this over or pass it on. But I too am not comfortable that we found a balance here between protecting the folks that are out there protecting us, as well as the right of the public to know if there's a bad apple amongst our troopers or our public safety officers. So, I don't know if I could add anything more than what you and Senator Pascan have been.
Yep.
But I'd be willing to help as well.
May I hear a motion then? Go ahead.
Just one comment.
I'm
satisfied with the bill as it is.
Mm-hmm.
However, if there are still some concerns from members of the committee, I'm willing to work with the individuals. But at the same time, we're not going to satisfy everybody. We are not going to satisfy everybody. Mm-hmm. But recognizing that we have to be satisfied as members of the committee, I'm willing to move it on now because I know there's a lot of people on judiciary could work on. But at the same time, I recognize my responsibility as a member of this committee. So if we want to hold it over and try to resolve some of those problems, I don't have any problem with doing that. However, just for the record, I am satisfied with the bill as it is.
OK, Okay, Senator French, as maker of the bill. Okay, I'll go ahead then and ask the vice chair. May I hear a motion to adopt this committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 19 CRA/E?
Well, I think we already adopted that as our,
okay,
as our
working document.
Can
we move
bill,
it out?
You want the bill moved out of the committee? Okay. Okay, I'm not sure I'm real excited about doing this, but if that's your wish, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, I'll move that we move Senate Bill 19.
19 CRA.
For Senate Bill 19 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, we'll move the bill out of committee.
Yeah, I think you guys in judiciary.
Thank you for your committee work and participation. We're adjourned.